Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast, presents episode 589, Project Contingency, recorded live on July 18th, 2017. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm.
I'm your co-host, Godzilla T.
And we have a very special stream tonight. We have the folks over from the fan project, Project Contingency, on the podcast tonight. So we're going to be diving into them. But first, to introduce the team, we have Josh and Mike from Project Contingency, who are kind of the leads behind the project. So thank you guys for coming on the show, and welcome to Podtacular.
Hi, thanks. Thanks for having us. Just to clarify, I am a community manager for Project Contingency.
Okay.
Mike is actually our team lead. He's kind of the mastermind behind our game. Then with us, we have R93 Sniper. He has been our PR lead. He's been mostly the one that everybody's been hearing about, or rather hearing from. And then, like me, Clark, aka PS Gamer, is another community manager. So go ahead and introduce yourself, guys.
I'm Clark, community manager, junior community manager, specifically.
Hi there. I'm R93 Sniper. I am Project Contingency's animation lead. I am the community manager, and as of recent, the audio lead as well. Hi there.
So we have three community guys and a project lead guy. Awesome.
Two project lead guys, technically, if you count me.
Two project lead guys, three community guys. We're off to a good start.
We'll need a whole separate podcast to explain how the heck we actually work administratively, so let's not get into it.
Sounds good. All right, so we are going to dive into a little bit of what Project Contingency is, but before we do that, we have a couple of little news things to address, and I'm not going to read out every single follow we get, because we're getting a whole bunch thanks to the followers of Project Contingency. So for everyone that has followed us, and I think we had a couple of subscribers already, thank you for coming on over to the podcast live stream, and for those listening to the podcast after the fact, we are streaming on Twitch and now Mixer as well. So you can find us over at twitch.tv/podtacular and mixer.com/podtacular for future recordings. So a couple of news things to get to before we dive on in with the Project Contingency folks. 343 Industries isn't quite going to be at San Diego Comic-Con, but in their latest community update, they did list out some interesting things that people may be looking forward to when attending San Diego Comic-Con. So Dark Horse is having a panel. It's called Console Yourself, Video Game, Comics, and Books. And Frank O'Connor is going to be on that panel. They're going to talk about video game-related comics as far as some of their bestsellers, which is in the realms of World of Warcraft, The Legend of Zelda, Mass Effect, and of course there are some Dark Horse Halo products out there, which everyone is probably familiar with. There's also going to be a signing. It's called Halo Rise of Atriox. So that is going to be on Thursday at 11 a.m. Colin Bunn, Alex Irvine, Jody Hauser, and Jonathan Wasak will all be there. And also at SDCC, there's going to be an exclusive UNSC Vulture Ship replica that is going to be a convention exclusive, and it's the red edition of it. They're $50 a piece. There are 300 pieces, and there's a limit of 2 per person per day. So just like the other Dark Horse figures, like the Pelicans and all the ships, there's usually a Comic-Con exclusive one, so there'll be that at San Diego this year as well. For Mega Constructs, there's going to be a photo op. There is going to be a life-size ODST drop pod made entirely out of Mega Blocks, which is pretty amazing. Previous years, they had a scaled replica of Spire. That was 2 years ago. and they've had some other bigger displays resembling Halo in the past as well. And then they'll also have their fall 2017 lineup of Halo Mega Constructs products at their booth as well. Acme Archives is also having an exclusive Know Your Enemies print, and it's Garrett Post's first officially endorsed print that he's made. Everyone in the Halo, well, not everyone, most people in the Halo community who follows the art probably know Garrett Post, know his work, and this is the first endorsed print from 343 that he has made. And that is going to be $40. There's 100 prints available, and it's a 13 by 19 print. And the print is of, it's kind of a recreation almost of the announcement trailer for Halo Wars 2 between Atriox and Cutter. So you have Atriox in the background and Cutter in the foreground. And it looks really cool. There's a couple other panels out there as well that they mention. If you want more information about that, you can go and check out the latest bulletin. There's some community spotlight stuff that we'll get to in the next episode. We mentioned some of the other products that are coming out, like the Halo coloring book last week and a couple other things. So some of the other stuff in this update we will get to next week. But just want to get the San Diego Comic-Con stuff out there, since I will be at San Diego Comic-Con next week, and by the time we record our next episode, that will be long gone. So if you are headed to San Diego, let me know. Hook up with me. We will get, hopefully we can get a chance to meet up and chat and say hi. I may have some giveaway stuff if you find me, so be on the lookout for that. And, I'm curious to see, is anyone in the chat possibly going to San Diego? So if anyone is, go ahead and shout that out. So that's it for the new stuff on Halo. There's also a cannon fodder that Grim Brother One did about Operation Spearbreaker, which is the campaign expansion that is coming, that's included with the season pass, and it's supposed to be coming out next month. Or no, it's supposed to be coming out this month. Sorry. It's supposed to be coming out in the next week or two. So if you want a little more information about that, you can head on over and read that. We'll talk about it a little bit next week, probably, as the content comes out. So that's been your Halo News wrap-up. On to the good stuff. Project Contingency. So between Mike and Josh, I don't know who wants to take the lead on this, or maybe Sniper, but give us your sales pitch on what Project Contingency is.
I think I can handle that one pretty easy. So, in short, Project Contingency is a fan-made Halo game being made in Unreal Engine 4, and we aim to bring what we believe to be the best Halo experience to PC. Generally speaking, we want to encompass the whole series, but there's a very heavy focus on the original trilogy, and I think that's it.
Awesome. Anyone else want to add to that, or is that the good sales pitch?
I mean, that's about it, really.
Okay.
We, yeah, it's free fan-made Halo game for PC running on Unreal Engine 4. That's, I mean, that's about as good as it gets, really.
Nice. So we'll dive into some of the technical stuff first, but I want to give everyone a chance just to kind of get out any maybe common questions or anything that people may have about the project. You all did have a Q&A a couple of months ago. Addressing some community questions, so I just kind of want to get through those real quick. Project Contingency is going to support split screen, local, up to four players, and you can custom map mouse, keyboard, and additional controllers connected to your computer, and you can assign them to specific players. And then there was also the note in there about being able to switch between mouse and keyboard dynamically if you have one person playing. They're like, capturing most of the stuff from the Q&A? I think that was most of it, right?
Those are the most important things concerning controllers, yeah. We also talked about how mods are kind of a gray area for us. I remember mentioning that one, because a lot of people were asking about
that. Yeah, that's a legal issue.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's not quite possible with the kind of project that, you know, we're making.
Right.
You get into a little bit of a legal gray area, and you're a little bit reliant on, it's kind of, what's the word? An honor system. So in the event, someone from the community, extracted assets from an official Halo title and converted them or, you know, did whatever magic they feel like they need to do to get it working in our game, then we could be, legally responsible for that. And, we don't really want to risk the entire project just for something like that.
I would imagine I could see where that would be an issue.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
There's another thing. I also remember that we discussed about how we're dealing with maps, because people were talking about how we have Cardinal, which is our remake or reimagining of Guardian, and we have Asgard, which is our reimagining of Valhalla or Ragnarok, depending on who you ask. And ideally, our idea is to have our own custom maps, like, as our priority, because you don't want to really focus on what's already done.
That makes sense.
I think that also holds for gameplay as well. We want to tread new ground in some respects while staying true to what's originally there.
Yeah. I mean, you want to pay respects to the original game, but at the same time, you want to make sure that you are being true to yourselves and kind of expressing your own art in your product, basically.
Yep. That's why you'll notice that all of our assets, while they are based on the Halo series, all of them are pretty unique in how they are presented, I guess is the best way of saying it.
Yeah. I see what you're going with that.
Everything in the game we make ourselves. And so, naturally, because this is, you know, our project, our baby, while it is, you know, based in the Halo universe, we do some things a little differently, and it shows in the art.
Yeah. And it sounds like, for the most part, based off the sales pitch, trying to kind of pay homage to the work done by the previous Halo games. And you mentioned that there's kind of a focus mostly on the original trilogy. Is most of the work that you guys are doing kind of exclusively built into that, or is there also some other takes from the other games that you're incorporating into, like any custom weapons or I guess if you have armor sets down the road, anything like that?
As it stands right now, most of what we have that pulls from anything past Halo 3 is more or less in concept than anything else. So it's not really implemented yet, and generally our rule is if it's not implemented, we don't want to speak about it generally, because we want to make sure that what you see is what you get. We don't like adding fluff or anything to what we show. So while, yes, there are plans for stuff that's based in like Halo Reach 4 or 5, not by much, but there are some things that we're pulling from there mainly as inspiration. And that's where it's just that we don't have it in game yet, so we don't want to talk about it too much.
Okay.
We don't want to make any promises
that we can't. That, I'm sure that's a, I mean, you hear that from developers all the time, of just kind of like making promises they can't keep. I mean, there's been a lot of them in the news over the past couple of years that have done just that, made promises and then can't deliver.
Yeah. Well, you know, Cortana said it best herself.
I was just going to say,
don't make a promise if you know you can't keep it.
I see what you did there, Josh. Exactly.
That's good. I like that emphasis. That's good. So for the most part, there's emphasis, at least from what's already been out there from the original Halo games. Is there kind of an emphasis towards any one in particular? Or for weapon styles, are you kind of going with Halo 2, map styles, Halo 3, or is it all kind of mixed together in everything that you guys have worked on so far?
It's more of a mix, just quite frankly. There's an obvious inspiration from Halo 3, but that's mainly because Halo 3's core systems worked, I think, the most fluently. But once we start iterating upon it, it's going to be more of a thorough mix.
You'll notice that in Project Contingency, the way the weapons work is pretty heavily projectile focused. And so if you look at the weapon systems from, for example, Halo 2, well, I guess if you compare the battle rifle, for example, from Halo 2 to Halo 3, there's a pretty big difference in the way it functions and the way bullets travel. And so we are taking more from Halo 3 in the sense that the vast majority of our weapons are based in a projectile system rather than hit scan like Halo 2.
So can you go into a little more detail on what you mean by projectile based versus hit scan? Because that's the first sure. time I've heard the term projectile based when used in the context of defining hits on targets.
I think Mike could probably handle this the best.
Well, I mean, if I really get what we're trying to ask here, you've got raycast, which are just a simple, the second that you shoot, find out where exactly it was going for, versus you actually have a physical bullet spawned in the game that travels over some time and lands and handles whatever effects that incurs.
Okay.
There's quite a bit difference. As I believe Josh was saying, although I'm not completely familiar with the difference between Halo 2 and Halo 3 implementing it, according to him anyway, Halo 2 used more of the second that you shoot, it checks whether you hit or not, versus shooting, creating a separate projectile that handles whether a shooting takes some time to travel, etc.
Gotcha. Okay.
I think go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I think a very good comparison in that is, if you think in Halo 3, the sniper, I believe the sniper in Halo 3 was completely hit scan. So the moment the bullet fired, or as soon as you pulled that trigger, the bullet is going to wherever. As soon as there's a wall, it hits that wall. Whereas with the BR, you have a bullet that physically spawns in the game and it tracks down the field.
Gotcha. Yeah, so it's something that is physics-based versus just what you see on your screen. Yeah.
Right.
It's a good way of thinking about it.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense. Kind of like a good way to put it is a laser. Think of a laser as like instantaneous from your weapon to the target versus a projectile that takes time. So, okay.
Right. You basically hit scan, you imagine an imaginary line. It comes from the end of your gun to wherever it's pointing. And if it hits something, it'll tell you if there's, you know, like some target that can take damage. Whereas in a projectile system, it creates that projectile into the world, and it, you know, it lets it travel however far it's going to travel, and it'll calculate, you know, like if it's going to drop or, you know, stuff like that. And then if it collides with anything, then you'll get that information back and you can handle it through code.
So I think that was just me being kind of a little inept in terminology, because Halo does use, I think some of the Halo games do use the projectile or...
All of Halo so far uses both in some respect or another. Because if you look at it, some weapons like the sniper, beam rifles, blazer, etc. use hitscan type weapons. Whereas stuff like the plasma rifle, plasma pistol, storm rifle, etc. they use projectiles.
Just a quick thing. I do actually think it's only hitscans, only the laser in Halo 3. And I'm not sure about the other games. Halo 3 is the one I've looked at most. But besides that, oh yeah, that's about it for hitscan and projectiles.
Yeah, in Halo 3, it was they were mostly projectile.
Yeah, you have to lead your shots a lot.
That's why, yeah, that's one of the reasons I don't like Halo 3 multiplayer, because I never could get the hang of that.
Yeah, leading your shots is a little bit difficult, but if you're like me, who started with Halo 1 and got used to the netcode on PC, it's not that hard after a while.
Yeah, good old-fashioned Halo CE on PC. Good stuff there. You mentioned one of you is an animator, right? Sniper? Yeah, okay. So since we have... Does anyone else in here have a certain specialty on as far as the design, or is it mostly just sniper with animation?
Josh is a programmer. Mike is also a programmer.
Okay. And then Clark, did you say...
Well, I was going to say, I used to, a couple years back when I did work on the project, I used to do... UI design.
Okay.
For it. Mm-hmm. But I since then retired from that. So
you're mostly just community guy now?
Right.
Cool.
Yep.
Awesome.
He also helps with our website.
Hey, you need something to work on website stuff. You need a good web admin.
Right.
So if I were to ever get into the game development, it would either be community management, web development, or UI. So Clark, I think you and me are kind of in the same boat right there.
Right. Yeah, I know.
So let's hook up. So for Mike and Josh, what specifically do you program? Are you working on physics engine coding, or is it some other aspects that you guys are working on? And I guess we can start with...
You can go first, yeah. Josh.
Okay, well, some of the stuff that I'm working on, I don't know that we can talk about yet.
Yeah, but like a generic role that you can... Say what it is.
I'm
like game type coder, for
the most part, I work just general programming. Whenever something needs done, you know, I'll look into it, and if I can, then I will. But what I'll say is, well, first of all, my role, I guess my technical role is a systems programmer, and so with that comes. So a lot of external stuff and stuff that you don't really see. So some of the stuff behind the scenes, like, some network stuff that, hasn't been worked on yet. As well as, I guess, I don't know. Should we talk about it yet?
Not yet.
Okay. Well, I mean, basically it's a systems programmer. There's not much else to say. I work on different systems that are
mostly outside the engine right now.
Yeah, for the most part.
So I guess I would kind of leave like net code or UI coding or like interface.
Sort of around the game. He sort of works on like the
statistics or
stuff like that. Yeah. In like, that general. Okay. Game.
Yeah, like sort back of the end stuff,
support.
Stuff.
The support. Yeah, the support structure for the game.
Okay. Right.
More or less.
Okay. I think I get what you're going for, so I won't prod any further to that. I can confirm with you guys later.
Sure.
So Mike, how about you?
I do a bunch, I guess. I've done in-engine and out-of-engine development, like making features for the game and stuff. I've done a lot of the 3D art in the game. I do some automation for stuff, and I also sort of set up and maintain our systems. Our development systems, like our development sites and all sorts of fun stuff. So yeah, I sort of work all over the place in a sense.
Okay. So let's kind of roll back to the basics a little bit. How did Project Contingency get started? How long has it been in development, and why the name Project Contingency?
Oh, that's a long
time. Yeah, I was going to say, we're going to be here all night.
I'll try to abridge this as fast as possible.
You guys can come over another show another time. But yeah,
I mean, I'll gladly come for another show, but I'll try to keep this brief. The short version is, if you guys have ever heard of an old fan game called Galaxy of Combat, it was some fan made game that was, I think, started in around 2008-ish, 2009-ish, something around that time, and that was made in CryEngine. For a while, they just kept on doing what they were doing, and some of us, I think, there's only like 3 of us now that were actually part of that team back then. And when they failed to deliver their product on time, they rebranded into Project Contingency, which was coded by one of our guys, our UI lead, Lavidito. Beyond that, what happened was in around March of 2015, or a little bit earlier than that, there was a huge change in leadership as the original team lead who founded the project left. He handed off to someone else, and he was talking to us. He wanted to continue the project, make sure everything works, but he got tied up in personal stuff. And there was an internal uprising that was accidentally caused by me.
Oh, gosh.
That got us to not want to use CryEngine very much anymore.
Okay.
And Unreal Engine 4 started to make its rounds at that point. When we got down to it, me and Master Noob, which is one of our other leads, our current Covenant art lead.
Cool.
Both of us made a prototype in Unreal, presented it to the team, and we took a vote on it, and we decided to switch to Unreal. at that point, but that also caused a lot of us to just leave. Like, we were about 30 or 40 people at that point. By the end of that switch, we were down to like 10.
Okay.
And since then, we took a moment to look back at ourselves and say, okay, what do we really want out of this project? And from there, we dropped what was really Galaxy of Combat, and now Project Contingency is its own thing. While there is...
So it's kind of like a branch off of what the original project was, is what it sounds like.
It's more like once the project switched engines, the old project was dropped, but we just kept some of the assets and some of the people.
Gotcha. Okay.
We went in a very different direction, so...
Yeah.
I mean, for one thing, if you think about it, we were looking in a much more realistic direction as well, because the original project had just such an enormous scope that really wasn't... It didn't exactly make sense in the long run for the development, really, the assets they had, and etc.
That's more or less the short version of what the project, how the project came to be, and that's pretty much the origins of it.
We still look towards that for inspiration stuff, but we certainly want to be more realistic before we extend ourselves.
And as a slight addendum to that as well, when it comes down to it, like, our systems are pretty robust, I guess I want to say. And I just, this is kind of like a self-shill kind of moment, but I really want to just give a shout out to our programming team and our unofficial miracle worker Muja, because literally half you see in this game would not be possible without them.
Nice. Yeah, hopefully we can see more of their presence.
Muja is a bit of an angel.
Hey, every team needs one, right? Someone that can just get heads down and do the work and come out with a good product.
Right.
That's awesome. So what about the name Project Contingency?
It's temporary.
We mentioned this once before. Project Contingency was always, it was always a placeholder name. It wasn't ever intended to be the original name. Before the switch from CryEngine, we originally intended to go back to Galaxy of Combat at some point or another. But after the fact, we decided that that's probably not the best idea. We don't really want to. It doesn't feel right for us in that respect. And the ideology of the name itself is kind of a point of contention as of recent, but in the end it's going to change, but we'll probably keep Contingency there somewhere.
So still kind of an internal project name of sorts.
Yeah, I mean, code you name. Could call it a working title, really.
Yeah, code name as well.
Yeah, code name, working title, stuff like that.
Well, at least they didn't use monkey nuts.
That is true. I'm still kind of scratching my head on how they came up with Monkey Nuts as a title name for that as initial build. But
you know, I wonder the same thing myself.
All right. So as far as some of the, you said a lot of the influences from the original Halo games. So as far as maps, you kind of mentioned a couple already. You mentioned there's a Guardian inspired map and a Valhalla inspired map. How many maps are currently in there, and how many maps are you looking to have come final release? Are you looking to something similar to Halo, where it's been upwards of 9 to 13 maps on final release, or what's your map strategy for Project Contingency?
Oh, well, I actually have the build open right now. I'll tell you how many maps we have right now.
Keeps going.
We have 18 maps right now.
Wow.
I will say this right now. While that's a big number, there's plenty of maps in there that are not confirmed. A lot of them that are blockouts, which are either undergoing more blocking out and refinement, or are starting to be playtested. So, in the end, I don't even think it's a doubt at this point, but we will be culling that list at some point or another, depending on what works for us and what doesn't.
And is it something where you're going to be making... Because you mentioned some of the inspired maps. Do you have your own map designs that you're also looking to make, kind of as your own?
Yes, 100%. So, for one thing, our maps are most... Well, like, the way that we're going to be developing and sort of choosing maps is going to pretty much be us trying to lend the maps themselves to, like, the game types that we're going to be having. So we're going to want to try to build a good sort of set of maps for the games that people will be playing. But more or less, we've got... I don't even remember the original question, man. I suck at this. let me know.
What are you looking to do as far as your own... from the ground up maps versus inspired maps from existing Halo maps?
Okay, so yeah, we want to do a plenty of custom maps. That's actually our goal. One of the main reasons we actually started with some remakes is to sort of orient ourselves in the Halo universe and gameplay style. So although we certainly want to keep some of them and have our twists and reimaginings and such of the like, we want to have our own. That's actually sort of really, we want to focus on our own custom maps. More or less.
Have you ever thought about getting with some of the Halo forgers or cartographers?
We actually already do. If you have ever heard of the website Forge Hub,
yep.
We actually have their owner with us. His name is Warholic. He's actually with us, and co-owner, right? My bad. Warholic has been with us for a few months now, actually, and most of those 18 maps, and I want to say at least a third of them, are literally just him playing around in the engine for specific game types, specific ideas that he's had, or unique gameplay opportunities presented with the sandbox so far.
That's awesome.
Cool stuff.
Yeah, and
yeah, we're open.
And Warholic is definitely a well-known name when it comes to Halo forging. So that's awesome. So if anyone had any doubts about maps and Project Contingency, I think you just kind of laid them to rest right there. I think that kind of answers the question of maps. Let's go into the realm of Spartan customization a little bit. I know we're going to look at some stuff here in a little bit, but what's the customization options that you guys are looking at? Is it going to be more akin to Halo 3, where it's like helmet, torso, legs, arms, that kind of stuff, emblems, colors, custom, or not custom, but...
Before I let Sniper take the lead on that. I just want to say, in addition to Warholic, we also have some other forgers like River and Zoo.
She's a good one.
Yeah, we want to involve. We want this to sort of be very involved in the community. So we do want to involve Forge and etc. as heavily as possible.
So you've got basically two of the five community cartographers that are recognized by 343 already. You're just missing
40%.
You're missing Duquesne, Psychoduck, Knockyard.
Knockyard is actually one of our testers.
Oh, well, never mind. You have 60% of them.
All right, Sniper, you want to explain our ideas on customization?
Long story short, it's mainly inspired from Reach to where we wanted to go with it, but with elements from Halo 4's customization, because there were some things that Halo 4 did really well with how... I guess in depth its customization was. Given I can't like say it's definitely going to be this or definitely going to be that, specifically because it's not implemented completely yet. It's only very basic right now, as you showed in the April update, that right now you have full customization of your emblem, foreground, background, and their colors. And we're going to give everyone a huge selection, at least try to give everyone a huge selection of emblems and choices in that respect. But I'm not going to talk too much about how the armor is going to go right now. But you can expect the basics like shoulders, helmet, chest, etc.
Awesome. And they're going to be... So we've seen kind of a little bit of extras in Reach and Halo 4 and Halo 5 as far as assassination animations, custom voiceovers for multiplayer, all that kind of stuff. Is there any kind of custom armory stuff like that going to be incorporated into Project Contingency?
There are plans for some of those things, but we're not really...
We're not really going to confirm that.
Yeah,
we're not going to confirm that just yet, but there will be something.
Okay, sounds good. GT, you have anything before I start spreading off more questions?
No. You've been getting them...
Okay.
Getting the questions that I've been wanting to ask.
All right. So we've seen a lot of community projects come out mostly multiplayer focused. Is Project Contingency the same way? Are you guys looking at a campaign or a single player or a cooperative mode of some kind in the future? Or are you mostly multiplayer focused?
Right now we're exclusively multiplayer focused, mainly because of the fact that multiplayer is where the core replayability of Halo games come out. Given we probably could go down for other things, but as of right now we don't have any plans on doing so, strictly because stuff like AI programming is excessively difficult. And there, while we have Unreal, which is a lot easier to work with AI, and there's plenty of tutorials, etc., right now that's not our focus, because we want to get the core experience down before we start expanding. That's also true for our weapon set, our gameplay map set. Like, as I was saying earlier, like, there's a very heavy focus on what Halo 3 was right now, but that's because we haven't completely gotten to the point where all of our systems are in a way that we like.
Okay. Sounds good. And I saw a question come up here regarding game types, and I guess we should have went into this before we worked on customization, but related to the map stuff. What game types are you guys supporting out of the box? I know there's some videos on your website as far as Capture the Flag, King of the Hill, and Slayer. But
Oddball.
What other...
also showed Oddball.
And Oddball, sorry. But what's your gambit of game types look like? And are there any new game types that you guys specifically have in mind that hasn't been done in Halo before that you're looking to incorporate or at least test out in your project?
There are a few that I personally would like to try out very heavily, though I'm pretty sure some of us would not be too happy to have to go through the effort of putting some of them in. But we do want to have a lot of... yeah, see, Josh and Mike just both like, yep. For future reference, if you ever see a ridiculous idea that comes out of this game, half the time it's going to be me.
Okay. Wow, way to steal the prize there.
That...
At the very least, you can admit that my ideas are goddamn ridiculous.
Yep. That's why we don't use it. I mean...
Oh! Well. I sense a little animosity in the group.
I'm kidding, of course.
Don't worry. We have hashtag blame Mike now, so...
Yeah. I'm pretty blamable, don't worry. yeah, we're definitely going to experiment with some game mode stuff. But we also will certainly be based in a lot of the classics and, you know, try to keep a lot of the cool stuff, which we've shown a bunch, but there's definitely more.
Plus, the community game types that came out of, like, Halo 3, Halo 4, and some of Halo 5, I'm pretty sure people can talk about how Halo 5 has some pretty good custom games. We'll probably try to include what we think would probably work with our sandbox, but if people want to make them after the fact through custom games anyways, like, that's still a thing.
Oh, sorry, say it again. So you have the ability to, like, make custom modes that are...
Just like Halo 3 and beyond, if you want to make your own custom game modes, game types, etc., based off of something that already exists, like, we're gonna be allowing that kind of thing as it is. So, like, if you really wanted to, you could have something like Jenga all over again.
Gotcha. So, like, mini game type of stuff.
Yeah, because why not? I mean, Griffball was a big thing.
Yeah. Well, and that was based mostly off of the Oddball game type. I was kind of... I don't know if I just misheard you or I was misinterpreting it, but I was kind of thinking you said something along the lines of how Halo 5 has its, like, ball game type, but you can make Oddball off of it, you can make Assault off of it, and that kind of stuff.
Didn't somebody also make that pancake flipping game in Halo 5?
Flappy Jack? Flippy Jack? Flappy Jack? Yeah.
I don't have an Xbox One with Halo 5 on it, so I can't really comment. I have Forge, though, so...
Yeah, well, I mean, anything that's Forge on Xbox converts over to Forge on PC. It's the same systems.
Yeah, silly shit like that. That's basically what we want to encourage. Because, come on, it's a game. You're supposed to have fun. Especially if it's a Halo game.
Yeah. And, well, so the question that I was kind of bringing up was, is the customization or for the game types robust enough to where people can go and make those kind of crazy game types? And it doesn't sound like it's quite on that level. It sounds more or less like it's on the Halo 3 level of how you can customize those kind of game modes into something like a Griffball or a Juggernaut or something like that.
As it stands right now, as of present, it's more along the Halo 1 through 3 kind of setting, but we do want to bring it up to Halo 5 settings and maybe even further than that if we can. It just depends on implementation and how we're going to do things.
We definitely think freedom in game type design for the players is important.
Well, and it's just, I guess, how much you want to make the, how robust and open you can apply like player traits to, or game traits in specific items or pieces within the game. It sounds complex as hell. I'll just say that.
I'll put it this way. We want to do as much in the way of customization as possible. Some things we've explored, some things we have yet to explore that we want to. And we're on PC, and so we don't have console restrictions. So there's a lot of stuff that we can do. I won't, you know, say exactly what we have in mind. But we are experimenting with some stuff, and we want to make our game as good as possible in that regard. And so there's a, like I said, there's a lot that we can do with it. It's just a matter of us making the time to do it, because there's, that's not a huge focus for us right now.
Okay. That makes sense. And you guys have still time to kind of tweak and do whatever you need to do as far as game types go. But it sounds like you have mostly the basis of what game types Halo 3 was presented with. But I do have one question. Is there going to be race?
I'm a huge proponent for race, and I've been yelling at Mike and Muja to get that done, because I absolutely loved race, especially foot race in Halo 1.
Oh, gosh. That was frustrating, because you usually had to, you just got like killed over and over again. And if one guy got ahead, they would usually be the one guy that would stay ahead.
Five laps, Chiron. Let's go.
Five laps, infinity.
On foot?
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, I mean, that's a lot longer.
Sure. Shotgun only spawns.
Oh, God. Oh, because you'd be crossing over each other. Oh, that would be kind of fun. I never thought about that on Chiron. But yeah, that would make... I guess Chiron would be the best map to do a foot race, because you have so many crossing paths with each other.
That reminds me, wasn't there a race prototype game mode when we were still in CryEngine?
That was not a game mode, because in CryEngine we literally only had Slayer, but we had a racetrack with... It's, like, I actually put the video on my YouTube channel, and I'll probably link it somewhere at some point, but... We had a huge racetrack, and that was made mostly by Master Noob literally just messing around on our test level and getting bored. Like, you'll notice most of it is just a bunch of Covenant assets thrown around a racetrack of white blocks. And that's mainly because Master Noob was just like, I love racing, and we have at least these Jeeps while we don't have the rest of the stuff in, so let's just do something with it. And he just did it in like 2 days. And that ended up being his testing ground for all of his Covenant assets, and it ended up being our test level to test out how the game works. It was also a good way for us to unwind after working on the project for hours on hours a day.
Way back yonder.
Way back when?
That was before Mike was on the team, actually.
Well, I was on the team during CryEngine, but...
You were on it, but I wasn't the tail end. The tail end.
I did actually do some stuff. I was on the team for a couple of years at Brandon.
Yeah, but you weren't around for the best race of all time, where Brian literally rammed into me and exploded.
Yes, I was. I did miss those good times.
Which, by the way, we have a convenient GIF of, if I can get Alex to give that over to us.
If he's around.
I also have it on YouTube, so okay.
Nice. So since we're on the topic of race and that kind of stuff... what kind of vehicles are you guys looking into, if you are, for the project?
This was shown in our April update, but we already have our Mongoose in. Like, it's working-ish. Like, it's drivable, at the very least, but there's some network issues with the Mongoose itself. Our Scorpion is being worked on as of present, and you can't really go through a Halo game without a Warthog. Like, that's just a sin against humanity.
A sin against the Halo gods. If you're making a community project, it has to have a Warthog.
I guess you could say they're the guardians.
And a ghost. Oh. That's a good one. And to that token, though, you'd also need to have a ghost.
We're definitely going to have vehicles in the game. Like, that's, there's no doubt that you can't have a Halo game without vehicles. That's one of the core pillars of Halo. As for what we're going to include, you can probably see that the Halo 1 style of vehicles will definitely be in there. As for anything else that's still up in the air and being concepted or talked about internally. So right now, I would say expect Halo 1 vehicles, and if, except maybe the Shade. The Shade's probably going to get a rework if it's anything. But Halo 1 vehicles and anything else is up in the air.
Okay.
Matter of fact, I hate to interrupt. If you go to the website project-contingency.com, we actually have a blog post on there showing off a lot of the art that we have for the game, which has Warthog, Sparrow, some tank
concepts. Mongoose and Scorpion are there too.
Right.
It's actually quite a bit old. The Scorpion has been heavily updated, the Warthog as well, and there's other stuff that's going to get updated from there too, but I don't want to talk too much about some of it.
Just as long as you don't implement the Halo 1 vehicle physics, we're okay.
Yeah.
I mean, if you really look at it, Halo 1's vehicle physics were carried through up until Halo Reach.
There were some adjustments to them.
Obviously, yeah, there were adjustments made, but there were still the core, same core systems.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Warthog between Halo 1 and Halo 2 were significantly different.
So was the Ghost.
Yeah, the Ghost was...
Yes.
I don't know why, but the Ghost's just staying statically in one position all the time kind of bugged me. I liked Halo 1's kind of floaty nature. I don't know, that's just me.
I don't mind the floaty nature unless I'm the one driving it.
I will say that having the ability to have like that kind of a Ghost overall was pretty good. But just that it felt wrong to be stuck so tightly to the ground.
Okay. So as far as the weapon profiles that you guys are looking at, I'm assuming you have your fair share of UNSC and Covenant from probably weapons that we've seen. Any new weapons or possibly implementation of Promethean weapons in this game? Okay.
If you actually take a look at our, I think it was the June update,
Yeah, the Unreal update, that we actually had our different implementation of the Spiker. Instead of having it as a machine pistol, we had it as a long-barreled rifle.
Oh yeah, there's a short footage of that. We had this entirely custom weapon that was inspired by Brute Weapons and Spike Rifle. And the Spiker, which was called the Spike Rifle. It had a few nicknames, but we did actually show something like that off. That was one of our experiments, which we actually ended up being no longer using.
Even though I still have the assets for it. But the reason we didn't really use it at that point was the Spike Rifle, in terms of ideology, what we wanted to do was make it more useful than the Spiker was and less like an SMG. So the idea was to make it fire slow, have a slower projectile, and have it as an anti-vehicle weapon rather than an anti-infantry SMG, I guess. It just kind of fell through as we were testing it, and it didn't feel right. So,
gotcha. I was thinking whenever you guys said like a spiker rifle, I'm thinking like so like a nail gun, automatic nail gun.
Something automatic. Still have a picture.
I have the model like on hand, and I'm pretty sure the concept art is on our site.
Yeah, the concept art is. We could grab that if you guys really wanted to see it.
I'm not sure I'll do that.
All right, so moving on to a little bit of multiplayer stuff. How are you guys handling multiplayer lobbies, custom games, matchmaking? Is there going to be a ranking? Well, let me not ask so many questions at once. Okay, so multiplayer for custom games. Is it all going to be locally hosted, or is there going to be dedicated server support?
Well, so we want to make it something that can sort of be sustained by the community. We don't want to have to put ourselves into a sort of... We don't want it to be necessary that we're still there. We want it to, like, the game, like, say we just disappeared off the earth, the game would, like, you wouldn't have to rely on dedicated servers. We would like it so that you could host your own stuff. And we might actually end up building some, applications for people to host their own, games and dedicated servers and et cetera. But overall, right now we're focusing on, like, just consumer-based servers. We do, however, want to support some dedicated servers. We're going to be testing that actually quite soon, dedicated server support. and we would like to see what we can accomplish with that.
I've got a spare PC laying around.
Oh, hey, you know, you want to send it to me?
Yeah, just like you're going to get those, the Halo CE and Halo 2 server back up, right?
Oh, man, we may need to contact the project cartographer, guys.
Yeah, good point. good one, GT. Is there going to be... Well, I guess if it's all going to be locally hosted and not really dedicated servers, well, not necessarily. Would there be matchmaking, I guess, is where I'm getting to.
Yeah, I'll get into that. So we do actually want to have a dedicated server support and matchmaking support, like some sort of server. The reason I was... I talked a lot about consumer-based, like, listen servers, because we want to make sure that that's always an option. So that way, like, no matter where the community is, it's always something that can be used. But we do want, we have a lot of thought towards, we do want to have some sort of matchmaking. We do want, multiplayer, to have, like, you know, to match with random people and skill base and all sorts of stuff. And we do want it to, you know, you can just play with random people and just have fun playing Halo. We do want all that stuff. And we are actually working on that stuff. So. We hope it will be fun, and we just want to also make sure that we can be, like, so that other people can create their own dedicated servers if, like, say ours are down or something like that. We want to be flexible, but we do want definitely all that stuff.
So in that implementation of matchmaking, what kind of a ranking system or skill matching would you implement, or would you like to implement?
We are going to implement. I don't want to reveal the details for it right now, but we are going to use skill based matchmaking. So we are going to be implementing systems for that, and it'll be a lot of fun. So yeah, there will be skill based matchmaking and playlists and etc. You know, if there are any more specifics, you can just ask them all.
So, for example, in Halo 3, you had a ranking system that was based on progression and skill. And some of that in the background, the skill was used to help match. And then you also had some progression that helped unlock items or customization. And then your rank itself was reflected upon both of those things. Whereas Reach's displayed rank was strictly progression-based. Same as Halo 5. And then Halo 2's was strictly displayed based off of skill. So is there a certain preference that you guys have as far as displayed rank? Because you'll probably have a back-end tracking that will do progression and skill, but as far as what's going to be presented to other players, what would be your preferred way of showing rank?
We don't really want to confirm that, but there will be a skill-based element. And it's also possible that we'll have separate progression. But it's certainly, like, matchmaking will be skill-based. But I don't think, right now we're not exactly sure if we want to confirm, like, how our system is going to be set up for climbing through ranks and et cetera and matchmaking.
Fair enough.
In due time.
Yeah, yeah.
I just didn't know if you guys had a certain, like, leaning or preference that necessarily confirms what you guys are looking at, but just...
We're not quite there yet. That's something that, you know, we'll be toying with internally once we get some more stuff done that we're looking at.
Yeah, we're still working on the core game, of course. So,
but once we're ready to start working on stuff like that, the community will, you know, we'll let the community know.
Since we've been talking about Halo 3 about Halo 3 a lot, water physics?
Why not?
I mean, do we have running water on any of our maps right now? Besides Cardinal?
Asgard? Had. Oh, yeah. That was dynamic, though, wasn't it?
I think so. I mean, I don't remember if water physics actually affected, like, bullets or anything.
It didn't affect. Halo. It just showed. It was a visual.
Well, we would like to make stuff look good and be immersive, so, you know, if we can... If we find that we can allocate the time to, like, I mean, well, we really can't. So we would like to make, you know, an immersive environment. So, you know, we'll definitely try to put that stuff in, but it may be more in the polish phase. So isn't exactly something immediately or anything.
You wouldn't see it in the game right now, but it's something that we all want to do. And
okay,
yeah.
There's no real, you know, resistance as far as feedback when it comes to that specifically. So if we can find the time and resources to do it, we will.
And going along the same path or same idea, are you guys looking at destructible environments or just destructible pieces?
Pieces, probably, because all of Halo is actually done destructible pieces. But as for fully destructible environments, I probably would say no, mainly because that's not exactly... It's not very Halo, I think, is the best way of describing it. I mean, you can make it work, and it's going to take a lot of testing, but it's something that we would need to put in resources to try that out first. And especially right now, there are other things that we would have a better time trying to work on and dedicate resources to rather than destructible environments.
Yeah, we have not experimented with it yet.
I mean, you had stuff like the bridge in Zanzibar or Last Resort, if I think that's what it's called in Halo 3. And like that kind of thing, like we would like to do like dynamic elements like that. But like if you're talking Crysis or Battlefield styles of complete destruction, then probably not.
Or even just like partially destructible. So like maybe Forerunner pieces wouldn't be destructible because they're Forerunner, they're ancient. But like if you have rocks or something, or something like outcropping or cove or something, that you can have some destructibleness to that environment.
It's something that we could look into.
It's something that's never been done in Halo, as far as, because it changes the dynamic and the flow of Halo, and that's never really been done before.
There's actually this one game that I know of that lets you do full environmental manipulation. I forgot what the name is. I downloaded the demo of it on my 360 at one point. I'll probably remember if I see it, but in that game, it made it so that you could literally adjust the height and of your terrain around you, and you had weapons that would modify it in specific ways, such as create pillars, etc. And they're looking at that game, you could definitely have that kind of Halo feel with a system like that, and have your systems modify the terrain around you, but it would have to be some way that enhances gameplay and isn't a gimmick. Because if it's just a gimmick, then there's no point.
Right. It needs to be something that's meaningful and useful in the game. Sweetie Fluff in the chat was saying something like, also like pressing a button to open a door, or kind of like the switch mechanism in Halo 5 Forge. Is that something you guys are looking into?
I mean, that's something we could do. Halo's done that before, so I don't see why not.
It's like the destructible bridge on R93 said Zanzibar Last Resort. We could do stuff like that, and you know, we could look into it. But that's kind of something we have to take on a map by map basis as we're designing it. So as of right now, we don't really have any maps that are, you know, that have that sort of thing. But then again, a lot of our maps are still being concepted, and as anything else in the game, everything's a work in progress. And so if we had enough, you know, like community feedback, and we could iron out the gameplay, it's something that we could put in. But again, it's one of those things where we have to look at it on a map by map basis.
We're not against dynamic maps, certainly.
Also, is it something that you're looking at as far as, since we're kind of going in the animation and destructible realm, I don't know if we touched on this too much earlier or not, but doing assassinations or...
You mentioned that already.
Talk about the animation stuff that's going into the multiplayer stuff, like the reloading or assassinations or stuff like that.
I actually wrote an entire document for the other animators to look at, referring to how we handle animations, more in a visual sense than a technical sense, because I always do the implementation. But as it stands, Spartans, if you understand how a Spartan works, not really from a fundamental level, but more of a how they're different from a regular human and what their suits do, there's a few attributes that go with that, such as very loose, exaggerated movements. And there's obviously like the force multiplier circus, especially since it's hard to get used to that kind of thing. You'll kind of overshoot everything. So what I set out for our animators was that when you're animating the Spartan, you have to make sure that the movements are always exaggerated. And it has to look like the person who's using whatever they're using doesn't have 100% control over themselves, because that's how it is. Pretty sure that would be the extent of how, like, that's just the mentality you have to keep. Like, I have a lot of specifics as to what is and isn't used there, but they're like do's and don'ts kind of deal. But I'm probably not going to go into that because that's more my mental thinking.
There was one question that someone was asking. Great Divine. I guess this is going to be more of a Josh and Mike question. What's the blueprint to C++ ratio?
That's a good question. Oh,
these guys know how much I love
I don't know what that means, but...
I can explain that one because this was a big thing for us as well. Blueprints are basically Unreal Engine's dedicated, like, non-programmer code system. It lets basically anyone who can understand basic coding to code an entire game without actually looking at code. It's completely visual. It's completely node-based. And as of right now, and this is a pretty big thing for us as well, if it can be done in Blueprint and you don't have to touch C++ at all, that's how you should be doing it. Because back in CryEngine, and I'm going to refer to this a lot because that's what formed most of our mentality about how game design, it's just that we don't want to be stuck behind programmers. And there's actually been an instance of us having to wait behind programmers in Unreal already once before. I'm not going to go into that, but the long story short is we want to have everything in Blueprint as feasible, and only the things that have to be in C++, like networking, would be in C++.
Blueprinting is great. It's a visual scripting language by Epic Games that interfaces with the engine really well. And we use it a lot, but it certainly has its role in our development. We use C++ where necessary. We like to use Blueprint in a lot of places where we don't need C++ because it lets a lot more of our team has access to working on it and contributing actively. If, for instance, we were to get a much larger sized programming team, we might even reconsider that balance that we have going on right now, but it all depends. We have both. I'm not sure if I could give an exact ratio, but right now a lot of there are certainly a good amount of core systems in pure Blueprint right now. But we also have a lot of C++ function libraries that let us interface directly with the engine in custom ways. So it's a good mix. And really, that's how Unreal Engine's meant to be used. Blueprints really are necessary for a lot of Unreal Engine. But they're C++ is also necessary, and C++ is really cool in Unreal Engine. So we try to use both. But the best thing to do is to use them both together, and they work really well together, thanks to the way Epic Games developed it.
Let me just add on to that, and I'm going to say something else after it. If anyone knows me, especially since I was on Halo Maps, I am a very well-known ripper, so I will rip the hell out of any single game I can get my hands on just because I want to know how people do stuff. And I actually looked at Paragon, which is Epic Games' their own game on Unreal 4, which a lot of their features that are in Paragon are going into Unreal Engine. I recently got my hands on figuring out how Epic did their files for Paragon in terms of their systems. And they also use blueprints for literally all the face level things. Like every top level item, all the characters, how they interact is all done in Blueprint. And a slight addition to the previous question thing about destructible environments, somebody on our team actually told me what the other game I was talking about was. It was Fracture.
Okay, I've heard of it.
So shall we go to the main event of this podcast?
That's kind of what I was thinking about. GT, do you have any other questions before we kind of jump in here to our special feature?
As far as like a friends list, are you just going to do a basic friends list, or are you looking to do like clan support or anything like that?
We will have a friends list kind of deal going on. Like I think we've confirmed that before. Or at least planned on confirming that. If not, then whoops, I just did. but for everything else, like clan system, I'm a huge proponent for clans, especially because it's a good way for people to just interact with each other and always play with each other. And that's something that I feel like we would probably get to at some point soon. Yes, I one of our other devs just messaged me. Yeah, we did confirm that we are going to have friends list.
Yeah, we do have some social networking that we're
planning. Last question for me, at least. Do you plan on adding controller support?
It's already in.
Yeah, any game built on Unreal Engine, unless they specifically the developers specifically disable it, you could hook in a Steam controller, a PlayStation controller, or an Xbox controller, and play the game like that. And we've already got
DualShock as well, by the way.
Right, and we've already got assets for like the button logos for each of the different controller types in the game.
Yeah, in the future, you'll be able to basically plug in your PlayStation controller and see the PlayStation controls when you go to pixeling up.
As we start to get into our main feature here, I guess it's safe to say that we are going to be actually playing Project Contingency on the stream now. So I'm going to go ahead and switch over my video to my screen here. And hopefully the stream doesn't crash. And hopefully I can get a local recording going and that won't crash my computer. All right. where can people find more about the project? I know you guys already mentioned the website, project-contingency.com, but I think you guys have some videos up, so you have YouTube, Twitter, and that kind of stuff. So where can people find out more about Project Contingency just in general, as far as like social media and that kind of stuff?
Go to our website. At the bottom, there's a bunch of yellow social media stickers, and that's pretty much all the main links that we got for all the different places where we're stationed. So website's a great place for official updates and content, and we're working on it as well. And then Discord's a great place for active, if you want to talk to the devs or see other people who are part of the community and maybe excited for the game. So you can talk to them. You can also obviously see our YouTube channel down there. So all sorts of cool stuff. And I'm pretty sure a link to our Twitter too.
And also I want to note, not a lot of people know that, we have a forum where we directly interact with, members of the community.
Oh, nice.
So if you go to project-contingency, you'll see a button for the forum up there. It's a simple MyBB forum. You sign up, you make an account. Get your account confirmed, and you can go ahead and start posting. And we have a bunch of stuff up there too.
Cool. I think we're good to go, right? So I'll let Josh and Mike kind of take it away. But first thing, I guess, and do you want me to show off the egg? I mean, it's kind of already there.
Sure, but go for it.
All right. So the folks have been gracious enough to put in our own little Podtacular logo in there. So I'm not sure where you guys ripped that from, but if you guys want the raw assets of that, I can send that to you later. But
that was actually Lavadito. He made it on his own. He did not rip it.
Yeah, I actually kind of tasked him to do that last minute. He did that.
We did that today, yeah.
Yeah, that was a few hours ago.
I implemented it.
Nice. Well, if you want the official one, I can help you out with
that. Yeah, that sounds good.
It's actually pretty dang close. I can't really tell a difference between ours and the other one.
Lavi's good, so.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Good.
We're real grateful to have him on the team.
But yeah, so thanks for that. But you can see in here, there's some of the other emblems, some already that are almost directly inspired from Halo, like the Viper, the Hawk, the Oni symbol.
Yeah, it's just an example of some of the customization we want to do. And it also appears on your arm in-game. On your Spartan's shoulder.
Yeah, so we'll have to show that off.
Yep. Yeah, shout it.
I'm guessing you guys know about the background is just pure black or pure background color instead of just none.
Yeah.
Yeah, none's just if you don't want a background.
Well, if you do none, it actually takes the background emblem color. It's not actually empty.
Right, right. That's a lot of this armory stuff is, well, that's what we're calling it, the armory, where you edit your Spartan and whatnot. It's still in the works, and we're kind of going through a little bit of a UI overhaul. And so a lot of this stuff is going to be changed.
Yeah,
this is another question I had that I forgot to ask, but I guess this kind of answers it here. Will you be able to play as Covenant? And it looks like you will be able to based on the customization.
We confirmed Elites like forever ago.
Yeah, we actually, back in CryEngine, even we had playable Elites. and there's no reason to change now.
Yeah, we're planning on we have some stuff on that in Unreal, you know. You may see that.
So for everyone that's listening to this, we will have the video of this portion of the show up after this show, just so people know what we're actually looking at here. Sweetie Fluff was also asking, is there going to be a developer-specific emblem similar how to Bungie has their seventh column one?
The world may never know. You'll have to find us in-game.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Remember our names.
So go ahead and take the lead here, Josh and Mike. And
okay, so
tell everyone what we're doing and what I should be doing.
Well, I'll explain what you should do. Hit custom games and I believe server browser. And you should be able to find
it. Oh, and the game crashed.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, it crashed.
Oh, well, that's unfortunate.
What? Just restart it. It'll be fine.
All right. Let's start up again. Hopefully this
stream obviously, it's a work in progress. Yes, sure.
Pick the window back up.
It's obviously a work in progress. We've all, actually, I'm pretty sure like 10 of us or more, like 12 of us have been waiting. Oh, it's 10. Waiting in a lobby for the last hour.
Okay, so at least the stream picked the game back up when I opened it up. Okay, so we're in here. So this is the customs game lobby.
Just 12 of us. Holy, that's a lot.
Yep. Let's see how this goes.
Oh boy.
There's two that don't even have names on there.
They'll probably default to player. We'll see.
Okay. So I like how the internet is called Contingency Net.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's our nickname for our set of services that we're going to be using to accompany the game, including the matchmaking support.
I am ready. GT, you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, here we go, and let's hope nothing breaks.
All right. All right. You can see up there in the left corner, it says pre-alpha build.
It also has an inaccurate date.
Yeah. Infection. Oh, so that's another question. Who does your voiceover? Oh, I thought I turned motion blur off.
Oh my god, there's a whole pile of us. Do we have a single infected?
I am infected.
Sniper's infected. He's green, so. My gosh, that overshield glows like crazy.
You can turn down the bloom a little.
Or I'm off. Going to. Don't kill me.
Make sure your resolution scale doesn't default.
I'll give you a few moments of reprise.
Ah, I crashed into Vadim.
Oh, I guess I have to reapply all these quality things again because they all default
at
the low.
Yeah, we're actually currently right now working on graphic settings saving. It's just
so we've been bloom off.
Yeah, we recently ultra had an off. Issue with graphic settings and our maps. Like we had an issue with our maps for a little bit, especially this map where it was very poorly optimized. So we went down and optimized it.
Yeah, we'd been focusing on the core gameplay functionality, so. Which is also why we didn't have persistent graphic setting saving, but we're finally getting to that. Where are you?
Okay, all right. There we go. I'm down here in the corner.
So I'm going to kill all
okay,
of you guys.
Okay, so I'm good. So you can kill
also,
me now.
Also, if you want, press H and your HUD will turn off.
And just so people know on stream, so I'm not showing it off, I'm using a controller. So I'm not using mouse and keyboard. So just so that controller works.
Hey guys,
and H, there you go.
Save GG2.
So H is off and H is on.
Hey, Deathstorm.
Oh my gosh! That scared the heck out of me.
That was a bad spawn for both of us.
Oh, yeah.
Alright.
I think it's a bad idea that flies. I'm the first infected.
And just so people know, this game mode, Infection, is a brand new announcement on here. Oh, come on!
Oh,
I sliced
it's
you.
Also
I totally sliced
super
you.
Duper early Infection. Like, there are so... we have a lot of cool game types right now, but Infection is, like, brand spanking new. It is... absolutely teeming with bugs.
Well, so far it's been working pretty well.
Let's put it like this. We've literally got this in-game, I think, yesterday or the day before.
That would explain the whole kind of trepidation on Josh's part on whether or not we were actually going to be able to do this tonight.
It was a little worrisome there for a little bit.
We still have some King of the Hill if we want to play. Yeah, there's
like... Oddball.
Oh my gosh. I have not gotten a single kill
yet.
Is
anyone still Survivor?
Yeah, I just saw one. I don't know where he went.
And there's only 10 seconds
left.
He's
in the shotgun hall. It's Vadim.
In the round.
Wait, is that it?
Nope. Yeah, he was over
by the round's over.
Saw him last second. Pretty sure it was Destin. Or maybe...
Ah, man. No, I was infected.
No. Destin, not Deathstorm.
We have...
Yeah, Destin is our... Gotcha. Is the announcer.
Oh, well, there is a pile of us.
We haven't infected, right?
We haven't infected?
It doesn't look like it. All of us are red on the scoreboard.
No, Classy Ham is with us, and now he is infected. So this works.
Okay. Oh, well, that's interesting. It shows the ping actually, next to everybody.
It's okay. I can resolve that. I have a...
Yeah, he's blue team.
I said infection super early right now.
Yeah, okay. Well, just somebody jump off the...
Like, I already did. It's cool.
Yeah, Mike and, we made it Mike so, and meshed
yeah,
it.
Oh, I'm God. Infected now.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Also, I want to give a shout-out to Supa, who's helping me with the animations a lot. And you'll notice that, especially since last time, there's a few animations that are new, like the shotgun's melee. That was done by both of us. It was a lot of work.
The melee actually looks pretty solid.
Ooh. Yeah, that's because of him. Trust me.
Ha, get wrecked.
Yeah, believe it or not, R93 and some of the other animators, all of the animation you see in game is done by hand.
I mean, the animations look pretty good.
Yeah. Oh, I just got betrayed.
Yeah, somebody betrayed me too. But I like 90% of the animations were me. And then when Supo came along right before April, I had him do the carbine set, and he's helped me with the magnum set and just a few other things. Mm-hmm. When we get down to other game modes, the entire battle rifle set, I think, except for like two pieces, are all him.
So who does... I think I asked this question, or maybe I just wasn't paying attention. Who does your voiceovers for the announcers? Okay. It's actually pretty good.
We like him. That's why he's on. We chose him, so...
I don't know if the controller... I don't think the lobby reset properly again.
Yeah, yeah, I'm on my own, it looks like.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, see, that's one of the small issues we've been having, is just keeping a player in a lobby.
Well, it's because it's not been a focus. We've been focusing on the core actual match. And we're going to build the stuff around it after, mostly.
Oh, there we go.
Whoa, I'm seeing the lobby on my main menu.
Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, same here.
But yeah, it happens from time to time.
Okay.
That's a recent bug, I believe.
It's why it's a pre-alpha build, folks.
All right, so we have Slayer, Oddball, King of the Hill, CTF, and Infection. I'll let you guys pick which one you want to play.
I figure we could do a couple of classic Slayer, or just a classic Slayer, and then we can wrap up the show. And then for whoever wants to stay on and watch a couple more, we could do that.
Actually, you know what? How about this, Mike? Would you mind if I showed them that one Slayer variant that we were talking about but didn't get to show yet?
I don't remember it.
The one that starts with a S.
Slayer?
Just show it. Yeah, Slayer? What I was thinking. Just show it, whatever. I don't even remember it.
If we go Slayer with this many people, we should probably not play as... Or, I mean,
let's go on maybe... Yeah, let's go something bigger.
I can do Mott.
Vulcan,
Monolith?
Monolith could work. I wonder if Roundabout would work.
Probably could.
Although I'm not sure if the lighting's fixed.
It's not. No, wait, Kavi fixed it. Kavi fixed it.
I know he did. I guess I didn't
check. All right, let's do this.
So for everyone that's listening and not watching,
yeah, I did.
We're playing a SWAT. We're playing SWAT variant of Slayer.
Yeah.
And I've got a BR here.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, the aim mechanic on this needs a little tweaking.
Oh, it's probably because you're playing the controller.
I can't aim with controller.
Yeah,
yeah. Aiming has consistently been an issue for us, but we're working on it.
With controller, we're going to start adding some quality of life features soon. Oh, hot damn. Destin murdered me.
Yeah, this seems way too sensitive.
You should be able to turn your sensitivity down in game options.
Yeah, but then it would make his regular sensitivity like super slow.
Who the heck is Blame B?
I promise for folks that are watching, I'm not this bad at normal Halo.
I will give that disclaimer to everyone because as I said, we've consistently had an issue where the aiming feels really, really, really loose. And people have commented on
that
in our gameplay videos, like, why does everyone suck? It's it's just the way of how we handle aiming. We're working on fixing it.
Apparently.
Okay. And again, it's a beta, or not beta, pre-alpha. Yeah. So
if it'd be beta, there's then it would be not good.
Then it'd be a really big issue.
I have grenades and SWAT.
Do you? Oh, I must have not.
I do.
I must not have gotten rid of them off the map. Also,
I just got meleeed.
If you didn't figure that out yet, F is melee.
I just got cornered.
I'm back to using the controller. So,
Halo 3 controls,
aka the superior control scheme.
I liked Reach controls better than Halo 3, quite frankly.
I like 4.
Whenever a new Halo game comes out, I immediately switch to Recon because it's most like Halo 3.
Oh, yeah, we're going to be supporting multiple control schemes that you can switch between.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So, like, we'll have, like, the Recon preset that you can switch to at the beginning of the game, etc.
Really? Teabagging, dude? Really?
Also, hold Q for your dual-wielding purposes. Also, I want to give a shout-out to all of our testers joining us today. Tonight, whichever.
Yeah, this was impromptu as hell.
I mean, it's good we have 12 people on here, which is better than some Halo PC lobbies.
Don't make me sad, please.
Some? That's a good one.
Don't make me sad, please.
I loaded up Halo PC the other day. Alright, I just shot you in the head and you didn't die.
Yeah, hit detection is still also a little wonky. Again, a lot of our systems are work in progress and getting fixed.
Oh yeah, we have our code lead's actually going to be working on a lag compensation like right now.
Okay.
There's definitely a lot of work to be done, that's for sure. But we're getting to it.
Also, this map is a lot darker than I made it originally, which makes me a little upset.
Ooh. God damn.
I think it's also kind of unfair that I'm the one doing this, because no matter what, I always end up winning.
Well, yeah, you have host advantage right now.
I'm trying to get Destin, but I couldn't.
I mean, even without host advantage, I've beaten you guys.
Oh, wait, you're not hosting? No, you are hosting.
You are hosting.
Turn around, Destin.
Sniper's hosting, yeah. That's the other thing, too. I can't hear stuff hitting me. I'm guessing... some of you guys probably know that already.
Yeah.
I'll probably list off of something, and you guys probably already know about it. Like, I only see the little red thing that I'm getting hit. I don't actually hear that I'm getting hit.
Yeah, our sound stuff has... Let's put it like this. For the longest time, we have not had sound people.
But we now have a brand new sound team that are about to start going on a sound pass. It's actually something we've been preparing for a while.
They've started recently. One of them is with us, actually.
Yep. Shout out to
Mesh.
Yeah,
he's testing.
He should be in game.
Who I just killed.
You might be able to see him in the chat log and the kill feed.
Dang it, Sniper. That's cool. So what's kind of the priority that you guys are really focusing on right now? I know you have like teams that you're trying to really build out, and not to mention there's someone kind of was asking about this earlier, but you are looking for people to join the project and help out.
Yeah, we certainly are. We're currently focusing on polishing some of our features and reworking some stuff. But another main focus is getting the base that we want with vehicles in. So we kind of have to go around in a few places and multitask.
I think that question was more of who you look, what kind of people.
Hey, I got a double kill and there's a medal with it.
I think you were asking more along the lines of who are you looking for rather than what you're doing, right?
Well, what's your current focus on the project? And then, what people that may be listening to this are you looking for that might be interested in helping out?
I mean, I would love to have more animators on our side. And I know that we could definitely use more people who can do organic modeling.
More programmers is always welcome.
More than welcome.
Yeah, programmers also would be preferable that they understand Blueprint.
Well, yeah, and... It's more like preferable that I understand C++. Blueprint's almost a given. That's just how Unreal Engine works at this point.
I mean, I've seen people apply saying, I will redo everything in C++ better than it was before.
Meh. It's like, yeah, that everyone
if you
before
know
you
C++,
said that too.
Blueprint's not very hard, so.
Okay. So there you go. If someone's interested in helping out.
Did I just win? I just won. Yeah.
Host advantage. And of course, the two new people are at the bottom. Me and Godzilla.
Well, considering for most of that game, I couldn't get my controller to work properly.
Oh.
Really? What's the problem with the controller?
Oh, I guess
I don't know. For one, I can't change the thumbsticks correctly.
Change them?
Yeah, he plays inverted.
Yeah, I play inverted.
Oh. Is the inverting not working right now? Because we do have inverted in the game options, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, but it doesn't apply to the controller.
We did not know of that. We are dedicated controller
I'll make
testers.
An issue right now.
We don't have a ton of testers that actually
we found
play
a legit bug on the podcast. Yay! We helped.
Yeah, but our like dedicated controller tester hasn't been available for a while, so.
And there's the keyboard going right now of the issue getting reported.
Bug submitted. That's development. That's development at work.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to go ahead and wrap up the podcast portion of this. So for everyone that's in here, you want to share your social medias or where people can find you directly?
I'll take care of that one. For us on Twitter, you have at Proj Contingency, P-R-O-J, C-O-N-T-I-N-G-E-C-Y. I hope I spelled that right.
G-E-N-C-Y.
Basically, project My with bad. The first four letters and contingency.
Yes.
Yeah.
We also have our website, project-contingency.com, and our forum is forum.projectcontingency.com.
There's a link on the website. All the links are on the website. You can find our Twitter at the bottom, our Discord at the bottom, our YouTube at the bottom, and at the top you can find the forum link.
Okay.
Yep. That pretty much sums it up.
Personal social medias? Or?
I use Twitter at r93 underscore, I believe it's underscore sniper.
Yep. Okay.
I'm twitter.com/xeclutch.
Okay.
I don't really have one.
That's
is that
fine.
Bad?
No.
Clark's is at praise being new guy, I believe.
Yep. Don't really use it that often, but yeah, I do have one on Twitter. I also have a Reddit account, same as my Twitter, praise being new guy. Okay. Don't post on that very often either, but I'll lurk around the Halo subreddit every now and then.
We also have our own subreddit, Project Contingency Official. I think Ryan.
Yeah, Ryan is actually.
Okay.
Of that.
Cool. And was that everybody? Or Josh, Mike, did you?
Yep.
Get yours?
I don't really have one, so it's all good.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We're just waiting on Ryan to give us what the Reddit one is, because I always forget it.
Okay.
I believe... Let's see. I have it in my favorites here.
I'm sorry.
No worries.
Oh, no. I just murdered someone. I'm sorry for that.
Oh. Well, we are playing Halo, so...
Yeah.
That's kind of the point.
He was kind of standing still, though, so I feel bad about it.
That was probably me. So I was getting a little bit of lag.
Okay, it's reddit.com/r/project-contingency.
Underscore. Okay. Excuse me.
Change underscore.
Underscore.
Okay, cool. And then you have the YouTube channel, which we already mentioned earlier.
Yeah. I also have my own YouTube channel, which you can check out. R93Sniper, no underscore on that one.
Okay. Cool. So make sure you go check out the project, guys. I don't know. I'm assuming since we have the build, we'll probably be continuing to help out. So we, with their permission, may be streaming more of this or be uploading some videos here in the not too distant future regarding the project. So make sure you
we'll
check out.
We'll definitely bring you in for more.
Cool. We appreciate it. So check us out on our YouTube. You can just search for PodTackler or go to podtackler.com/YouTube and you can find our stuff there. So we'll be uploading the video portion of what we've been talking about. So for those listening to the podcast via download, then make sure you check out our YouTube to watch what we were actually talking about for the last 20 to 30 minutes.
Has it really been that long?
About 20 minutes, yeah.
Wow, time flies.
Time flies when you're having fun. As far as our stuff, you can find us over on podtackler.com, and you can find us on all of our social media platforms. We are on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Discord, Twitch, and this is the first podcast that we've actually streamed to Mixer as well. So you can follow us over there. We'll be doing some more game streams over there as well. I think once I get to doing my Halo 2 or Halo Wars 2 Legendary stuff and all that stuff, we'll probably be mostly focused on Mixer over there. But for the meantime, we'll be splitting pretty evenly between Twitch and Mixer. You can also order the first crate of the second year of the Halo Legendary crates. You can head on over to podtackler.com/loot crate to order the next crate. And I know I said I would probably try to release last episode with the RTX code, so I just released it today, so that code's no longer good. But you can use code PodTackler at checkout to get $3 off of your crate subscription. And they did show off the figure for the crate, the new Halo Icons series figures, and it's going to be Cortana. And we haven't decided yet on how we want to do the giveaway of the full first Icon set that we picked up at RTX, but we should have more information about that shortly after San Diego Comic-Con. With that said, make sure you check out Godzilla T and the Fraggin' Fridays at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find his gamertag, I think it's well, I don't think I know. It's Godzilla T, and message him, and he'll get you in on the lobbies on Fridays. And then, when's your next scheduled stream or recording session for the next Achieving Halo episode?
I haven't scheduled it yet.
Okay.
I will probably be the, let's see, what is next weekend? 26th. Probably going to be the 29th.
Okie dokie.
Kind of busy this week. Yeah. So I'll get it planned out, and I'll let you know on the next podcast for sure.
Cool. And we did just release Mission 8, Swords of St. Helios, on our YouTube. So make sure you go check that out, of Achieving Halo. And check out the podcast network. We're part of a group of gaming-specific shows, which includes Guardian Radio, which is going super crazy and nuts over the Destiny 2 beta that's out now. There's also Critcast, The Learning Cliff, Podcast 76, Work in Progress, and How to Murder Time. You can find out more about those podcasts over at thepodcast.com. That is thepodcast.com. I want to give a huge thanks to the Project Contingency folks for being on the show tonight. So Josh, Mike, Clark, and Sniper, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to talk about Project Contingency, ask you a bunch of questions, and even get to show off and premiere a new feature that you guys have been working on.
Thanks for having
us.
Yeah,
for real.
Absolutely.
This was a pretty fun experience, I think, for all of us.
Yeah. And for those watching the video that we'll be uploading to YouTube, you can find more content over on the Project Contingency YouTube channel, and we'll be uploading further gameplay videos in 4K. Since I have a 4K monitor and I have a 1080 graphics card. So you can check that out over on our YouTube channel, podtacular.com/YouTube. Any last minute things you guys want to shout out there before we officially wrap it up?
Be on the lookout for, just be on the lookout for, you know, head over to the Project-Contingency website. We're going to be posting some more stuff on the blogs. That's about it, man. Like I said, thanks for having us on the show. I'll hour 93.
I do want to say a few things before we go. First of all, a huge thanks to the entire Project Contingency team, especially the new guys who have been helping out with the production. Secondly, I also want to tell everyone to make sure to join our Discord, because we talk to everyone on Discord, and all of our announcements are through Discord and on our website. So be sure to follow both of them. And this kind of goes with what we said in the Q&A last time, but we will be doing monthly Q&As and podcasts just in general, so keep an eye out for that on our YouTube channel.
Awesome. Well, thanks everyone for watching us on Twitch and Mixer, and for downloading the show for those who did. And until next time, keep on blaming Mike, or in our case, keep on blaming Beowulf.